Tonight we come to message four, making ourselves ready for the Lord's coming by being a faithful and prudent slave. Let's read Roman numeral 1 together. This Roman numeral just basically Matthew 24, verses 45 to 47. Let's read this together. Who then is a faithful and prudent slave whom the master has set over his household to give them food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Well, you might not realize that as a believer, we have a status of a servant. This is what this a slave means, that we're a servant of the Lord. Our master, God, has an eternal plan. But we're all familiar with this matter of the eternal economy. This economy is to distribute himself in Christ as food to man. And God has this plan. He needs servants to distribute food to people. Well, when we say we need to be a faithful slave, what does it mean? That means we have to be faithful to God's eternal economy. Maybe you're faithful to many things, but our master, our God, has an eternal plan. He set us, he set his household right to us for this very matter, that we need to dispense Christ, we need to give food at the proper time. So all of us, we all are servants of the Lord. Well, this verse doesn't say that a faithful and prudent son, but a faithful and prudent slave. We have to realize that we have responsibility. Each one of us, we have responsibilities before our Lord. He commissioned us to give food, but he commissioned us to be part of his eternal economy, to work with him as a servant, to minister food to his people. So to be a faithful and prudent slave, right, is a steward of God in God's house, a household administrator dispensing Christ's food to his believers. Well, so we all need to be a faithful and prudent slave. I don't know if you realize that this title says by being a faithful and prudent slave is a singular slave. It's not a plural. It's not a corporate slave. Sometimes we might think, somebody else, right, is faithful. I'm part of this faithful group of serving ones. Well, it says by being a faithful and prudent slave, each one of us, we have to answer to our Lord. Each one of us, we have responsibilities before the Lord. But this verse is, who then is a faithful and prudent slave whom the master has set over his household to give them food at the proper time? Well, the Lord has placed us in different places. He has set over his household, or even unbelievers. Actually, if you read the excerpts, This is not just the household. Of course, we have to start with the household of God. But even the unbelievers, people around us, we have the responsibility to give them food at the proper time. Well, God has sovereignly arranged to place you. Maybe you live in San Mateo. Well, God has set over San Mateo so that you can give food to people in San Mateo. Well, for sure, your small group, your church, for sure, the ones around you, you have to give them food at the proper time. But how about our neighbors? How about your coworkers? Well, tomorrow you will see the top shepherding to unbelievers is to give them the gospel. We have to give the food to the unbelievers. God has set them, right? God has set over these people to us. Without us, they will have no food. Saints, I hope we can all see this. This is our responsibility. God has set over his household to his slaves, to his servants, so that we can give them food at the proper time. Well, what does it mean to have to give them food at the proper time? Well, if you get into these verses, you realize any time is the proper time. We have to give them food in season and out of season. Well, maybe Tuesday when you get back to work, your colleagues will send you a text asking you, how was your weekend? Well, that's an opportunity for you to give them food. Maybe you tell them, oh, I was at the blending conference. They're going to say, what is this? What is the blending conference? Well, that's an opportunity for you to give them food. You can share with them the dispensing of this wonderful Christ. Well, how about the children, right? Many of us serving at the children's meeting, the young people's meeting, in our Friday night small group meeting. Any of these time, any meetings, any gatherings of the church is a proper time for us to give the saints food. And right now, for sure, is the time of harvesting. You know, some of us might think that this maybe not the time for the gospel. But I could tell you that right now is the time to reap the harvest. We haven't been to recently, we went to a community college, right, in Livermore, a small community college. We asked the saints to take time off during their lunch break for 3 days, 2 hours. We just went there to set up a table. In 3 days, we have received over 70 by names with cell phone numbers. You know, some saints say, oh, why do you emphasize cell phone numbers so much? Well, you know why? Because the cell phone number is an indicator of how open they are. Right? If you want to sell me something, I will never give you my cell phone number. I'll give you my email. I'll give you my landline at home because I never pick up that phone. But I will never give you my cell phone number. So when someone is willing to give us their cell phone number, that means they're really open. They want to come back. Right? So in those 3 days, we have over 75 recent graduates from high school, these fresh college students at the community college. And last 2 weeks, we had over 15 appointments. And these young people are just so open. You know, one came to the table. He asked, well, can you show me the triune God in the Bible? He said, I'm a Catholic. I don't know about the triune God. Can you show me the triune God in the Bible? We have many stories like this. And at the beginning of this year, I told the brothers I received this report, you know, from the Barnes research group. And they put out an article in February. This article says over half of Gen Z teens feel motivated to learn more about Jesus. Over half. That means these people between the age of 10 to 20, one out of two, if you just walk up to them, one out of two will tell you, can you tell me about Jesus? Where can you find a group like this? One out of two, more than 50%. More over half of the Gen Z teens feel motivated to learn more about Jesus. So saints, this is the proper time. We have to go and give them food. Right? So they will not go hungry. There are many seeking ones out there. But what is this food? This is really, I would say, my burden. Let's see together under Roman number 1. Sorry, I have to jump over because of time. C says, give them food refers to ministering the word of God and Christ as a life supply to the believers in the church. Christ as a life-giving spirit is our food, embodied and realized in the word of life. So this food is not just raw groceries. You know, sometimes when people think about food, just, oh, you read the Bible, you get food. Oh, you go out there, there's a lot of ministry books, you just buy some books. Well, it's true, you know, they can find some food. But the food here is referring to the Christ, right, as the life-giving spirit. This Christ is the life-giving spirit, not only living in us, but it's embodied and realized in the word of life. You have two verses here, John 6:3, which we're very familiar with. It said, the words which I have spoken to you are spirit and our life. In verse 68, Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life." And the footnote 3 of 63 says the Greek word of words here and also in verse 68 is rhema. It's not logos. This rhema denotes the instant and present spoken word. So we have to realize this food requires some cooking. It requires some process. It's not just logos. It's not just repeating some doctrines. It's not just quoting some verses. But this word has to become part of you. Then it can be processed as the rhema, as the instant word, as the food to feed people. And at the end of this footnote says, when we receive the words, how do we receive this word? We have to receive the words by exercising our spirit. We get the spirit who is life. So this word has to become spirit to us. When we exercise our spirit to receive the word, we have the spirit, and which is life. Then we have food to feed others. So saints, we need this kind of feeding, right? We need this kind of food. Small ones is in order to enjoy the Lord as our spiritual food so that we can feed others. We have to enjoy the Lord as our spiritual food so that we can feed others. We need to receive His word by means of all prayer. Saints, we need to receive His word by means of all prayer. This is the only proper way that we can receive the word. We can have food to feed others. Well, the Lord really blessed the churches right in Northern California. We have many wonderful young working saints. And many of the young working saints are smart, gifted, well-educated. Some of you graduated from top institutions, even with multiple PhDs. You can stand up to give a summary. You can stand up to recite verses and give many points. But my question to you tonight is, how much have you prayed before you speak for the Lord? When you give that prophecy on Lord's Day, how much have you prayed? Have you prayed yourselves into the Word? Have you received the light from the Word? Have you received the divine thoughts from your praying? Out of those divine thoughts and light, have you received a particular burden from the Lord? That the Lord asks you to speak that into the saints. How much have you prayed? Before you serve children, do you actually pray over the lessons? And you consider before the Lord what is appropriate? What is the food? What is the word that the Lord wants you to give to these children, to the young people, to the saints in your small group, to the saints on Lord's Day? How about the new ones that you're meeting with? Saints, in order to enjoy the Lord as our spiritual food, so that we can feed others, we need to receive His words by means of all prayer. We have to pray, read the word. We have to convert these words into our personal prayers. We need to have transactions with the Lord. At the end of Brother Lee's ministry, Brother Lee told us his new way is PSRP. Pray reading, studying, reciting, and prophesying. Prophesying is the last step. Without praying, pray reading, you cannot prophesy. When you pray, read, you'll receive light. What do we study? We study the light and the revelation we have received from the Lord. It's not a mental exercise. Then once you have the light, you study, then you have these points. Then you're able to speak to others. We probably all have this kind of experiences. When someone asks us a question, then you just feel that, oh, you're so short. You wish you had studied a little more back then. You have all these points you can supply to these needy ones. Well, saints, we need to pray. We need to receive His word by means of all prayer, and also by musing on His word, speaking His word aloud with much consideration. This word musing is so wonderful. Musing, to muse on the word, is to taste and enjoy it through careful consideration. Right? We have to consider the word. Sometimes we read these words, we don't consider much. Right? We have to taste it. We have to enjoy it through careful consideration. And also this musing also implies praying, speaking to oneself. When you prepare this prophecy, you know you're the first ones to enjoy your prophecy and be supplied by the prophecy. We need to speak to ourselves. And praising the Lord can also be included in the musing on the word. Also, to muse on the word of God is also to enjoy His word as His breath. We have to read the word with calling on the name of the Lord. Actually, when we read the word, we have to constantly contact the Lord by calling. We have to call, read, and call. Call, read, pray, read, call. Well, our calling, our musing, our prayer reading and our reading, they should just be one. But that's really just prayer reading, right? We're turning our heart to the Lord and to enjoy His word. Well, saints, I don't have the time. Let me just read some of these points. Point two says we need to continue steadfastly in prayer and in the ministry of the word. See here again, the prayer precedes the ministry of the word. If you don't pray, you have nothing to minister. And we have to continue steadfastly. That means it's a daily matter. It's not once a year when you come to the Labor Day conference. I hope every week, at least every Friday, when you gather with your small group, every Lord's Day, right, you will have something to minister to the saints in this kind of way. Three, we need to prophesy to build up the church. Speaking what we see with the living word of this life, under the instant and fresh inspiration. Once you have these words in you, at that moment, at the proper time, right, the Lord will give you that fresh instant inspiration and anointing and the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit through the exercise of the Spirit. Once you have these words in you, you just need to exercise your spirit, right? Speak these words to the saints, also to the new ones, to feed them. Four, we need to pray ourselves into God to receive the life-giving Spirit as our supply, our spiritual food, to feed ourselves and those under our care. Again, pray ourselves into God. Five, we need to be life-giving askers, channels of the life-giving Spirit who can give life to others. Well, here you have a brother here sinning, a sin, not unto death. Then we should consider before the Lord. Sometimes we might think, oh, Lord, you do something to help this brother. This verse says, you need to be, if anyone sees his brother sinning a sin not unto death, he shall ask and he will give life to him. That you need to be an asker. And through you, you can give life to this brother so that he will sin no more. Point six, we need to be the sons of fresh oil, those who are continually being filled with the fresh present and consummated Spirit as the oil of gladness, to flow out the Spirit into the lampstand for His shining testimony, the testimony of Jesus. Well, as we're laboring this way, we're giving not just the Word, but the Spirit into the saints, a fresh dose of the Spirit every time we open our mouth. We give them food at the appointed time, right, to supply them so that they can go on with the Lord, right? Even this brother who was sinning, he will sin no more.
Amen. Saints, aren't you happy to be here this weekend? So thankful to be here. Amen. One thing I was considering, you know, even concerning this conference is that when someone wants you to get a point, they speak it to you again and again, right? So I feel like the Lord is really trying to prepare us, right, that we would be those that are making ourselves ready. And I just considered even before speaking tonight that, you know, with my son, sometimes I have to tell him once. I have to tell him twice, sometimes three times, right? And the point being that I want him to do something or I need him to do something. So the Lord, I feel like he is faithfully speaking to us through this whole weekend, right? At least the third time, right? That we would be those that make ourselves ready. Amen. So I appreciate, I guess I'll just start. One thing I appreciate that Andrew brought out is that, again, in the title, it says, making ourselves ready for the Lord's coming by being a faithful and prudent slave. Right? And I appreciate even he pointed out, actually, this matter, the word there is, it's singular, right? So this word applies to us, not just, you know, as corporately, but actually it applies to each one of us personally. So we need to take this to heart. So I'm sharing from the second point, which is, again, this whole message is based off of Matthew 24, 45 through 51. So Andrew spoke on the rather more positive portion of it. And this portion here is, actually, I still really am encouraged by this portion, right? This portion is, on the one hand, it's a warning to us. And on the other hand, it is an encouragement to us. So maybe we could all read Roman numeral 2 together. But if that evil slave says in his heart, my master delays and begins to beat his fellow slaves and eats and drinks with the drunken, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour when he does not know, and will cut him asunder and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. So in these three verses, there's maybe three things we can look at here, or three things we can see. There's the evil slave's attitude, right? That's the first portion. The second is the evil slave's action. So the evil slave has two actions, and the third portion is the outcome. So firstly, if we look at the evil slave's attitude, his attitude is, my master delays. Oh, Lord, save us from this kind of an attitude. And one thing one burden I really feel to stress as I was getting into this is the matter of seeking the Lord today, right? Getting into the Word today, right? Praying today. So we don't want to be the evil slave who says, my master delays, right? That slave is not taken care of today. And actually also the evil slave, his attitude is he's one that loves the world. You know, in 2 Timothy 4:8, we see Paul. Paul was one who loved the Lord's appearing. Brothers and sisters, may we be ones who love the Lord's appearing. Amen. Right? So he expected the crown of righteousness. But then you have in 2 Timothy 4:10, you have Demas, who loved the present age. What did he do? He abandoned Paul. So, oh Lord. So this evil slave is one who loves the present age and is not taken care of today. So maybe we could read 2A1 together. The Greek word for coming is parousia, which means presence. To love the Lord's appearing, his coming, we must love his appearing, his presence today. And again, I really want to stress this word today. As I was preparing again for this message, just this word kept coming up again and again. Today. You know, actually, the enemy wants to take away our today, right? I just was so impressed by this. He wants us either to look at yesterday. Maybe we had a wonderful time with the Lord yesterday, and he wants us just to not focus on today, right? Or he wants us to be frustrated by yesterday. Or he wants us to look to the future. But saints, we need to be those that take care of seeking the Lord today. Right? It says, as long as we have today, we should love the Lord and his appearing. Amen. Awaiting his coming and taking his coming as a warning, an encouragement, and an incentive. Amen. So saints, take care of today. Amen. Oh, it's so wonderful we have today. Enjoy the Lord today. Amen. Amen. For the sake of time, we'll jump ahead to 7, which says, come, Lord Jesus. Right? This should be the longing cry and constant prayer of those who love the Lord in his appearing. Amen. And so then we come to the first action of the slave, right? The evil slave, the first action is that they were ones who mistreated their fellow believers, right? And I don't know, I don't know if we all really appreciated this fact before we got into it, but we can see what is it to mistreat our fellow believers. Actually, to beat our fellow believers, to mistreat them, is to speak something evilly of them, right? Maybe something comes to our ears, and we re-speak it to somebody else. Saints, we need to learn to be on guard with our mouth, right? And I appreciated, we can either be those that are feeding others or beating others. So if we're faithfully in the Word, we're faithfully praying, we will be feeding others, amen, right? But if we're not in the Word, if we say, my master delays, then we'll be those that are, by default, maybe we are speaking even, we beat others, right? So, we have to be so careful. And I have Luke 6:37, which says, and do not judge, and you shall by no means be judged. Do not condemn, and you shall by no means be condemned. Amen. Release, and you will be released. So saints, let's take care not to beat one another, but to feed one another. Amen. Amen. And then the third, actually the second action, this is Roman numeral C, is to eat and drink with the drunken, right? Which is to keep company with the worldly people who are drunk with the worldly things. So as we were considering this, I actually got some helpful fellowship from a brother. On the one hand, to eat and drink with a drunken can be something we do outwardly, right? Even there's 2 Corinthians 6:14, which says, do not become dissimilarly yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership does righteousness and Jesus? Or yeah, and lawlessness have? Or what fellowship does light have with darkness? So outwardly, we could be those eating and drinking with the drunken. But even, again, we have to realize it's not just our getting together with others that can cause us to eat and drink with the drunken. Actually, this device here, if we're not careful, this can cause us to eat and drink with the drunken, right? It's really easy, right, just to go spend time looking on this and that, and before you know it, half an hour is gone. And so instead of praying, right, instead of getting into the Word, into the ministry, you've spent half an hour eating and drinking with the drunken. We need to be on guard. Because the Lord is for us, right? But the enemy is here to steal our time, right? Even with however he can. Our phone can certainly be very useful. I have the Word right here. But it also can steal our time, right? So may we be on guard. And then the outcome, right? The outcome is the faithful and this, how about we can all read D together? Faithful and prudent slave will be rewarded with the authority to rule in the manifestation of the kingdom, whereas the evil slave will be cut off from the glorious Christ, from his glorious presence in his kingdom. Amen. So brothers and sisters, may we be those that are not beating our fellow slaves, but are feeding our fellow slaves. Right? Those that are spending time to get constituted with the Word, that we would have something to feed one another with. And this is each one's responsibility. Amen. Right? We all have this responsibility. We all need to spend the time to do this. Amen. And then when we get together, we'll have something, some riches to nourish one another with. Amen.
Now we'd like to encourage the saints to come forward, those of you who've designated for message 4, to come forward and line up at the two microphones. The North Bay Saints, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, saints.
Amen.
Hallelujah for this weekend where we are making ourselves ready for his coming.
Amen.
Amen. You know, and the point it says that to prophesy is to speak what we see with the living words of this life.
Amen.
And it also says that we need to exercise our spirit.
Amen.
When we do so, we are under the instant and fresh inspiration, anointing, and enlightenment of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. I appreciate that. In this Matthew 24, 45, and 47. It reveals that God's economy or God's household administration, right?
Amen.
Which is to give food at the proper time.
Amen.
And the background in this verse is in the whole chapter 24. In answering, disciples' question about his second coming back, the Lord showed them many signs. But in the end, he mentioned about, talked about this faithful and prudent slaves. It seems like the Lord saying that don't spend too much on these signs, but what I need is the faithful and the prudent slaves.
Amen.
And the Lord here mentioned about the household, right? The household, who is the household? In Ephesians 2:9 says, "So then you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God." So the household is us. You know, the strong ones, the weak ones, the dormant ones, and the backsliding ones, the young ones, and also the mature ones. But all of us, amen. So amen. So the Lord also mentioned the set over. This set over means there's an administration, but this is not mainly, say, control or lord over, but mainly to give the food. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I really enjoy this portion of being a faithful and prudent slave to Christ, dispensing Christ as the proper food to others at the proper time. In particularly, verse 1 Peter 4:10 says, "Each one, as he has received a gift, ministering it among yourself as good steward of the very grace of God." Praise the Lord. This is very encouraging because each one of us could be the faithful and prudent slave, serve as a steward in God's house to dispense Christ as food to others. In life, whoever serves the food knows the proper time. For example, the proper time in the morning is breakfast. To cook a nutritious good dinner requires diligence, time, and preparation for the food. In the same manner, one of the proper time to administer Christ's food could be at the home meeting, at the Lord's table, or when you're gathering with the saints. It also requires our diligence, time, and preparation. Imagine if we only spend 5 minutes to read God's word all week, and just before we go into the home meeting, then instead of nourishing others with a nutritious dinner to others, we will just be ministering a glass of juice. May we encourage each other to spend time with the Lord through our prayers, musing on God's word, enjoying it, and even touch on the words through our subjective experience so we can minister Christ as food to others.
Amen. I have enjoyed very much this short prayer that we can all pray every today. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. We can all pray this very short prayer and enjoy it because we are those who love the Lord. We are those who love His appearing. Amen. Right? So we can pray. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. This should be our longing. This should be our cry. This should be our constant prayer. Lord Jesus, you know, when I say, come, Lord Jesus, I must confess that I am a little afraid. Because am I ready? I don't think I am, but still, it could be, it is an incentive for me. an encouragement to turn to the Lord, to come to the Word, to be filled with this Word, so I can speak it to others. So I can be that faithful and prudent slave. So we can all pray, come, Lord Jesus.
Amen. I was really touched when I read, to beat our fellow slaves is to mistreat our fellow believers. This verse reminds me that I should not judge or condemn my fellow believers. In week 4, we read that we learn that criticizing, judging, opposing our believers is all forms of beating. We must spend our time and energy to do positive services for the Lord's interest. A personal example is I know that in the past I have been guilty of criticizing other believers and making judgments on what they may have said or what they may have shared. I was guilty of beating my fellow believers through my actions. In Acts 9:4 we read, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice say, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Paul was persecuting Christ's believers because they were contrary to the opinion of the Jewish religion. God called him out by saying, why are you persecuting my believers? You are persecuting me. In Matthew 25 we read, truly, truly, inasmuch as you have done the least to my brothers, you have done it to me. This is a reminder to me that if I'm criticizing or judging or beating my fellow believers, I'm doing it to the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, let me see this as a reminder to use my time and energy in a positive way and service the interests of and prevent me from beating the believers and do the right thing by feeding them the word.
These days I'm really enjoying this portion in Matthew chapter 24. Blessed is that slave whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. And I just feel like the Lord is just so gently and so sweetly reminding me, giving me a healthy awareness. Where will I find you right now? Where will I find you throughout the day? And I feel like in a lot of the messages, saints have been sharing this matter of where are we throughout the day. And last night we had dinner, and the serving person, he asked me, what are you doing here? You know, what group are you with? What an opportunity to feed somebody. And we spent about 10 minutes. Turns out he's a dear, dear brother who works here in the cafe. His name is Umberto, if you meet him. And his wife goes out preaching the gospel all the time. And I thought, blessed is that slave. We're the first ones that get the enjoyment when we give food to others, and then they get the enjoyment by eating the food.
Amen. Point room 101C5 says, we need to be life-giving askers, channels of the life-giving spirit who can give life to others. And, you know, this portion reminds me of my grandmother. Whenever I stayed with her when I was a little girl, I would get woken up by her singing and praising the Lord in the morning. No, she just really enjoyed the Lord, and throughout the day she would have a Bible in her kitchen, and whenever she'd read it when she could, and whenever somebody came over, she couldn't help but just share Christ with whoever came. And you know, in the ministry portion here, it says it should matter to the church. It should matter greatly to the saints. Our living should greatly matter to the saints. Right. Our living should greatly matter to the saints, because our living can supply life.
Yeah.
You know, my grandmother's living greatly mattered to me.
Right.
But it says, but whether or not this depends on the degree to which we live Christ, minister Christ, and infuse others with Christ.
Amen.
So the more we enjoy Christ, the more we infuse others with Christ.
Amen.
May all our lives greatly matter.
Amen. Saints, either we're beating others or we're feeding them.
Amen.
I like this point that we should not revile or criticize our brothers, but consider them more excellent than ourselves.
Amen.
These are just two extremes. Either you're beating or criticizing, or you regard them more excellent than yourselves. There's no middle ground.
Right.
When we think there's a middle ground, the enemy comes in. Oh, I looked up this word. To revile is to subject to verbal abuse.
Mm-hmm.
A revile is an abusive attack prompted by anger or hatred. Praise the Lord. The Lord could shine on our temper,
Amen.
Our outbursts of temper. And the one who gets damaged by it is the one closest to you, your spouse.
the Lord is going to hold us up to account.
Amen.
What we speak. This is a very sobering word. In 1 Corinthians 6, it tells of those who will not receive the kingdom. And then in Philippians 2:3-29 says, doing nothing by way of selfish ambition, nor by way of vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, considering one another more excellent than ourselves.
Amen. Zechariah 4:14 says, these are the two sons of oil who stand by the Lord of the earth. As sons of oil, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. They are filled with the Holy Spirit. So although these two persons, they are the sons of oil, what flows out is gold. What is gold? Gold is God, right? So what they say is the Holy Spirit. Yet what flows out is God himself. So I'm really, really touched by this, that as people who minister God to others, we need to have to be people who spend time with the Lord, to be filled with the Lord, that what flows out is God himself, which is gold. So as we apply this matter to experience today, as we see in Zechariah 4:14, we see that the Spirit who flows out is God. God is gold. God is gold. Thus, we minister Christ to others. We supply them with oil, and we are actually supplying them with God. God is flowing out from within us. It's very important. From within us into them. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew 25:13 says, watch therefore, for you do not know the day nor the hour. Praise the Lord that He's really speaking to us today. That our level needs to be higher and higher. Amen. And our pursuit for the Lord needs to be intensified.
Amen.
I was really touched by the portion that we read it on Roman numeral 2:8-2, where it says, as long as we have today, we should love the Lord in His appearing, Amen. Awaiting His coming and taking His coming as a warning, Amen. An encouragement and an incentive. Saints, daily, this should be our attitude, Amen. That we only have today and not be slothful. Amen. We have to be reminded that our maturity is not an overnight matter. So how we need to prepare ourselves to love Him and grow in Him. Amen. So that His appearing, we may be matured to be raptured and receive the reward. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. I enjoy this point. Just simply be... We need to be We need to watch and be ready for His coming. In the context of being a faithful and prudent servant, slave, and what that means is that to be ready, that means we're well prepared. You know, students need to they can't procrastinate to prepare their test. Nor when the Lord come and settle the account, we shouldn't do our bookkeeping the last minute, right? We need to be doing this every day. So for us who enjoy the Lord's presence. We also are those slaves that serve the Lord's presence to others, and we need to be doing that every day as well. And that's our preparation, our readiness. And being watchful contrary to being stupefied, sleeping. So we need to watch what our speaking must be the present truth. We need to spend the time before the Lord, allow to heed the prophetic word, and we cannot... sugarcoat, water down our speaking, but we need to present the present truth to those ones around us.
Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. In order for us to enjoy Him as our spiritual food so that we can feed others, we need to receive His word by means of all prayer. And also we need to muse upon His word. I appreciate Ephesians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18 says that, and receive the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the word of God, by means of all prayer and petition, praying at every time in spirit. Saints, when we come to the word, we need to exercise our spirit to touch the spirit in the word, because it's the spirit who gives life. You know, when we pray over God's word, we will be inwardly supplied or nourished with the divine supply in His word. Also, we need to muse upon His word. And I really appreciate that to muse is not merely to ponder with our mind. You know, it really involves opening our mouth. You know, it is for us to read God's word out, right? To speak to ourselves, to speak to the Lord, you know, to pray and open ourselves to the Lord. You know, it is the muse is to taste and enjoy God's word through much consideration. So praise the Lord. This is how we are nourished and supplied so that we can be the faithful steward in the house of God, dispensing Christ as food to the saints.
Do you know that actually the Greek word parousia means the presence? It's not actually at the tribulation, far away from us. Parousia means today. I really touch about the words today, that we need to redeem our time to love the Lord today. Amen. You know, we can talk about the Lord's coming. We can do a lot of research about the Lord's coming, but we don't love His presence. The Lord really touched me that I need to love His presence today. But then I also ask myself, what does it mean to love His presence? What does it mean the Lord's presence? Actually, in 2 Corinthians 2:10, Paul says that if I forgive anything, it is for your sake in the person of Christ. Paul's forgiveness is in the person of Christ. Actually, the footnote of this verse mentioned that to live in God's presence is to have the index of God's eyes, to have God's thoughts and feelings. Oh, Paul was fully one with Christ. Paul, in his natural man, actually, he denied it. He was broken. He was terminated. Oh, he let Christ's thought and his mind to be his. So I just feel that I have recently, I just feel I need to have many conversations with the Lord. Amen. Lord, I'm willing to let you defeat me. Amen. I'm willing to let your thoughts and your mind to be mine. Amen. I'm willing to have your presence with me today.
Amen. The message tells that we need to minister Christ as life supply to others. Amen. But I always feel I'm insufficient. I'm always short of Christ. Amen. But I really enjoy the verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Amen. Our sufficiency is from God. Amen. So we eat and drink of Christ so that we can receive the richness of Christ, so that we can really overflow of such richness, of such a sufficiency. Amen.
In week four, day five, concerning the evil slave, it says, he does not like to live the kind of life that is prepared for the Lord's coming. When I read that, I prayed, Lord, make me one who likes to live the kind of life that is prepared for the Lord's coming. Amen. I really appreciate not live, but likes to live the kind of life that is prepared for the Lord's coming.
Amen. Saints, we need to accept that we are a long time here in the Lord's recovery, but still we had a little growth and little progress. Today, there is an urgent need for all of us to function as a channel of supply to all the saints. Amen. But although this is not easy, but if we love the Lord and love His appearing, we will do it. We will rise up and take up the burden. Amen. We need also to follow Apostle did in Acts 6:4. It says that, but we will continue steadfastly in the ministry of the word. To pray is not only ask the Lord to do things for His move, but also to cause our spirit to be exercised and strengthened. Lord Jesus, amen. Hence, we must pray first before we minister the word. Such a prayer, we will be enlivened, we will be empowered by ministering word to others. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord, saints, this weekend. The Lord is calling. Calling who then? Who then is the faithful and prudent slave? I'll just read you a verse. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Each one, as he has received the gift, ministering amongst yourselves as good stewards of the varied grace of God. Amen. I think this each one include me.
Amen.
When we read this verse, it's me.
Amen.
When we read this verse, it's me.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. I really appreciated the ministry portion. One of the brothers mentioned it before that talks about Matthew 24:48-51. It says, the problem with the evil slave is not that he does not know that the Lord is coming, but that he does not expect him. He does not like to live the kind of life that is prepared for the Lord's coming. I just felt like I've almost never read a sentence in the ministry that so accurately described me. And I just felt like, Lord Jesus, I don't want to be this passive evil slave, right? If we're not faithful and prudent to get into the word, right, to cook and prepare the word, get into the nourishment, and to give food at the proper time, then we are these evil slaves, right, by default. And I just realized it's so easy for us to go even many years in the church life being this way, right? I had to ask myself, you know, outside of the meetings and then my daily responsibilities, what am I consumed with? You know, even just emotionally and mentally. You know, it's just scrolling on my phone. It's so easy to just get absorbed in that. You know, and then the beating our fellow slaves, you know, even if we're involved in many services or responsibilities, you know, how much time do we spend criticizing the saints or, you know, grumbling about the ones that we're coordinating with? I just feel like if we just spend even half that time and energy just to get into the word, right, focus on enjoying the Lord, touching the Spirit in the word so that we have the food to give at the proper time, we would be much more useful to the Lord, right? Oh, Lord, make us these faithful and prudent slaves.
Amen. The Lord must really want for us to get this point. Who then is the faithful and prudent slave,
Amen,
whom the master has set over his household to give them food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave.
Amen.
You know, these words just really jumped out at me this time. Blessed is that slave.
Amen.
Do you want to hear these words?
Amen.
When the Lord comes back? Blessed is that slave whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing.
Amen.
Truly I say to you that he will set him over all of his possessions. I like this point. In the manifestation of the kingdom of the heavens, the Lord will set the faithful slave over all his possessions.
Amen.
This will be a reward,
Amen,
to his slave.
Amen.
You know, in the past, when we come to this parable, for some reason, I always focus on the negative parts. Maybe out of fear, out of the consequences, like the brother shared this morning. But this time, I was really encouraged by the encouragement.
Amen.
Hallelujah, there's a reward.
Amen.
Dear saints, what are we here for? Giving ourselves for church life.
Amen.
Right? There's a reward.
Amen.
Blessed is that slave.
Amen.
What kind of life do we want to live?
Amen.
You know, this afternoon, many saints share about the testimony of a brother who shepherded so many, giving food at the proper time.
Amen.
Oh, what a blessed life,
Amen,
our brother lived.
Amen.
I want to be such a brother.
Amen.
I want to be such a slave.
Amen.
You know, what kind of life will be blessed, you think?
Yeah.
You think chasing many vain glories, many things, many dreams will cause us to live a blessed life?
Amen.
No, blessed is that slave.
Amen.
Lord, grant us to be faithful,
Amen,
and prudent to give food at the proper time.
Amen. Lord, make us faithful and prudent.
Amen.
In Matthew 24, we see the faithful and prudent slave. And there's also the evil slave. Though they both have the divine life and members of the household of God, which is the church, yet their hearts are different. Their hearts are not the same. The faithful slave loves the Lord and his appearing. He is also prudent toward his brothers and sisters by giving them food at the proper time, while the evil slave, thinking his master will delay, eats and drinks with the drunken, living a life like of the worldly people. But thank the Lord for his solemn warning in Luke 17:32. Remember Lot's wife. Lot's wife became a pillar of salt because she took a lingering look back toward Sodom, indicating that she loved and treasured the evil world that God was going to judge and utterly destroy. Saints, may we be those who make ourselves ready by being faithful to God and being prudent to our service in the Lord.
Amen. In Matthew 24:48, the evil slave eats and drinks with the drunken. To eat and drink with the drunkards means to keep company with the worldly people who are drunk with the worldly things, who are stupefied with the present age. Right? To eat and drink with the drunkard also means to enjoy what they enjoy. You know, the worldly people only have the world to to enjoy. But we are different, right? We have the Lord.
Amen.
We have Christ. We need to be the Christ lover, right? We need to enjoy Christ as our enjoyment, right? We should pray, Lord, save me from loving the world. Save me from this present age, right? But cause me to love you and love your appearing.
Amen.
Amen. Cause me to be the one who pursue righteousness, right? Peace, faith, love with those who call upon the Lord out of pure heart. Amen.
Amen. While I was preparing this prophesying, the Lord reminded me again. This is to you, speaking to you, also speak to me. We need to be watchful and beseeching so that the day of the Lord's coming will not come upon us suddenly as a snare. Luke 21:34-36.
Amen.
But take heed to yourself, lest perhaps your heart be weighted down with debauchery and drunkenness, and that the anxieties of life and the day come upon you suddenly as snare. For it will come in upon all those dwelling on the face of all the earth. But be watchful at every time, beseeching that you will prevail to escape all these things which are about to happen and stand before the Son of Man.
Amen. Amen. To be prudent slaves, we need to become the sons of fresh oil. That means we need to be filled with the Spirit and flowing out the Spirit to the golden lampstand as the shining testimony. But how do we become the sons of oil? We need to day by day buy the oil. This requires to pay a price. In Revelation 3:18, the Lord speaks to the church in Laodicea, "I console you to buy from me gold refined by fire." I like the footnote of this verse. The church needs to pay the price to gain the golden faith through the fiery trials that she might participate in the real gold, which is Christ himself as the life element to his body. Saints, let us buy the oil day by day to become the golden lampstand and eventually the golden New Jerusalem.
Amen. From this conference, I've been really enjoying my two statuses in God's economy. It's that in love, as a virgin, I love my husband. But in service, I want to be a faithful and prudent slave,
Amen.
Serving our fellow slaves in the household. And faithfulness is to be faithful and diligent toward the Lord, but prudence is to be wise in our serving and caring for fellow slaves. And I really enjoyed one of the verse reference that was in the message. It's 2 Chronicles, and it's Solomon's prayer to Jehovah, seeking wisdom how to care for his people. He says, "Now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people." And this people is no other people than the fellow slaves in God's household. So every morning, our ministry is not to give a 90-minute message to everyone, but it's really the rhema word that we have obtained in the morning time, and it's just to speak that to one another in the time of need. And in the picnic, when I was with different saints, this one brother was just so faithful in his service to feed me, and it was a doctrine that I kind of knew through the ministry. But he was faithful in his service to feed me his living and applied experience. So when the Lord comes back, may he find us faithful and prudent in his household.
Amen. Amen, saints. I just appreciate this week that we are here to be commissioned, to be faithful and prudent slave, to give them food at the proper time. And by doing this is through our prophesying. The greatest prophecy in the Bible is a built-up church. We see that in Matthew 16:18. Upon this rock I will build my church.
Amen.
And 1 Corinthians 14:4, he who prophesies builds up the church.
Amen.
And by doing this, it's by giving them food at the proper time.
Amen.
Saints, let's not neglect our function to speak. It's not about us in our proper speaking or different levels of PhD, but it's by taking heed of his prophetic word. Amen. Surely when we enjoy Christ, we have something to speak. Amen. And each one has. Amen. Each one can prophesy for his building up. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Each one has. I've been so encouraged just to be here with you all and to be fed by you all in all of these messages. Praise the Lord for this blending opportunity. I really enjoy the contrast between the faithful and prudent slave and the evil slave, and it being really a matter of their heart, right? And the fellowship coming out this weekend is, you know, where are you? Where's your heart? And we need to deal with our heart, because we see it's the heart of the evil slave is that, oh, my master delays. I'm just going to enjoy, you know, eating and drinking. And but we see even before that that the evil slave is one who is quick to beat his fellow believers. So really, I'm so touched. Our mouth is key, can either be used to feed or to criticize. So may we redeem the time, and be those who feed one another, and are kind and tender-hearted and forgiving of one another.
Matthew 10:19-20 says, "But when they deliver you up, do not be anxious about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For you are not the one speaking, but the Spirit of your Father is the one speaking in you." 1 Corinthians 14:3-4 says, "But he who prophesies speaks building up and encouragement and consolation to men. He who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but he who prophesies builds up the church." I didn't grow up in the church life, but my parents put me and my siblings in Christian schools, beginning in elementary school, all through high school. So I knew of the Lord, but I didn't have an intimate relationship with him until I joined the Lord's Recovery in college. I share this because when I went to these Christian schools, the only people that would speak at church would be the pastors. They studied the Bible for a living, and it made sense in my head that only those that were knowledgeable on the topic should be speaking about Christ. I would just sit in my chair comfortably. However, we cannot say that others have a gift of teaching to teach the Word of God and minister spiritual food to us, but that we do not have such a gift. Speaking at the meetings is to minister food for the Lord's household. Amen. This is a very important duty. But in order to minister good food, we must be diligent in the word. If we don't touch the word, we won't be able to serve good food. Instead of serving a hearty meal, we can only serve donuts and coffee. Let this be our reminder to get into our Bible often and spend time with the Lord and to prophesy in order to build up the church.
In Roman numeral 2b3, I like seeing this matter of overseeing the flock of God in 1 Peter 5:2 versus lording it over our fellow believers. Amen. In the life study, it says overseeing is not a matter of observing who is right and who is wrong. Amen. It's not about who is doing well and who is doing poorly, but it's mainly a matter of overseeing the need of the flock. Amen. And it's related to protecting, leading, and feeding the flock. Amen. And so just in my own experience, I was involved with this particular service group. And one brother was frequently late. Did not always come, always so exercised in my spirit. But this one older brother did not criticize, but he was so faithful to always feed us with the resurrected Christ. Amen. By his prayer and by the word. Amen. And so I'm just so thankful for this pattern among us, that when we see a need among the saints in the church, we shouldn't just talk about it or criticize, but we should be life askers to ask and give life to one another.
Amen. Praise the Lord, we can be a life giver and life giving asker to one another. Oh, Lord Jesus, we're here to be encouraged. We're here also to be alarmed. I'm encouraged in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8.
Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will recompense me in that day, and not only me, but also those who love his appearing. All saints, the Lord is waiting for us to be prepared. Amen. So the Lord can come quickly soon. One time, someone that is very close to me asked me, "You always tell me that the Lord is coming soon. But until now, where is he? He's not here yet." Yes, that's why we need to be watchful. We need to be prepared. That's why we need the word, so we can be more encouraged and we can be more strengthened, because we don't know when the Lord is coming. He's like a thief. He will come. We don't know, but he will surely take the precious one. So now it's a warning to me that I will not be like Demas, that Demas loved the present age, but be like Paul, always loving the Lord's present appearing. His parousia, his presence. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen. The Lord says, give them food. This implies eating, feeding, and nourishing. The Lord did not say, give them teaching, give them knowledge, give them doctrine, but give them food.
Amen.
Amen. This refers to ministering the word of God in Christ as life and life supply to the believers in the church. This is the real food. Christ, now as the all-inclusive life-giving spirit, now in our spirit, is also embodied and realized in the word of life.
Amen.
That's why in John chapter 6, verse 51 says, the Lord clearly and audibly declared, "I am the living bread that came down out of heaven, and if anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever." Verse 57, "As the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, he who eats me, he also shall live because of me." John 6:63 says, the word I spoke to you, our spirit and our life, and even in the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah said, "Your words were found, and I ate them, and your words became to me the gladness and joy of my heart." Is it the Lord? He is a nourishing food. He is a real food. Hallelujah.
Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. There's no effort at all in feeding others with the word. That's because out of our innermost being will flow rivers of living water.
Amen.
It just happens because of the love of Christ.
Amen.
When we have this love, everything just happens. Especially if we are in spirit and we are in prayer, it just happens. You know, you cannot stop a tree from bearing fruit. It just happens. Brothers, when we love the appearing of the Lord, it just happens. When I go to Walmart thinking that I'll just be there for 10 minutes and I end up being there for 1 hour, that's because I love feeding others in Walmart. They receive the word. And you know, the evidence is in the fruit that we love because we love the appearing of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. You know, as believers, our status in relation to Christ is of two aspects. In life, we are virgins to Christ. We love the Lord. Don't you love the Lord? And we love to be virgins, loving only our Lord Jesus Christ. But we also have another status. And that status is of a slave. I think most of us don't like that status, right? Who likes to be a slave? Actually, if you read this portion, actually not just Matthew 24, but also Matthew 25, you realize here, it doesn't say hire servants, but actually slave. Slave. So we have been purchased with the sole purpose of serving the Lord by serving his household. In this matter, there's no choice. If it's a hire servant, you can say, "Well, I quit." Well, there's no quitting here.
Amen.
We have been purchased by our lovely master. He's a wonderful master. No choice, actually, in day two. I just like to read this sentence, these sentences to you all. The believers, the churches, and even the more, all the sinners are around you. It is your duty, your obligation to minister food to them. It's our duty, obligation. So this is something of our responsibility. I hope all of us can see this matter. Every time we come together, it's work time. It's work time. On the one hand, our gatherings should be an enjoyment to all of us. Sit back and just receive. But the other hand, it is our responsibility to give food. Okay, so my next point is, we need to see what is involved in our service. Okay, it's to give food. To give food. One of the brothers, one of the saints shared, it is not to give dead doctrines or teaching, but to give edible food. Food. Who doesn't like food? But in order to give food, we have to be the first ones to enjoy food. If we don't enjoy Christ, the Word, as our food, we have nothing to give. We may not criticize the saints inwardly, but when we come empty-handed, in a sense, we are beating them. We're starving our fellow slaves. What kind of slaves will we be what will the Lord say when we see him? So may we all go to the source diligently every morning, even throughout the day, making preparation, cooking, so we have food to minister to our fellow slaves. The other thing is, we need to consider what is food. I think someone mentioned about donuts and coffee. Well, they're food. These two items are food, okay? It's okay. You will sustain someone for a little bit. So we should not despise that. But food, the kind of food that we need to minister should be full of the riches of Christ. After a lot of enjoyment and consideration. Okay, this is day one. Here, Brother Lee says, to give them food is to minister the word of God with Christ. With Christ. So, in our speaking, Christ should come out. When people hear us, they should sense the Lord's presence. That is food. So what is food? Food is the word digested, assimilated into our being. When we give this food to others, they will sense Christ. And this is what will build up the body of Christ. Finally, I just want to mention this matter. We need to consider what is the proper time. The proper time. Maybe sometimes we prepare something, we're just like, well, this is not the proper time. Not the proper time. I'll wait for next time. Well, if you read a ministry, every time we get together, it's a proper time. In fact, every time we are around others, it's a proper time. Believers or unbelievers. Just like Brother Andrew shared, in season and out of season. So in your pocket, there should be some food. You know, when I was younger, my dad always carried some candies in his pockets because the neighborhood children, you know, they're, I don't know why. Maybe because they knew this guy has candies. So we should be ones like that. In our pocket, we're just equipped with the riches of Christ. Let's all be faithful slaves. Faithful and prudent slaves. Minister food and give food at the proper time. May the Lord bless us to practice this.
Maybe we can close this section of the meeting just by praying with your neighbor over these two words, faithful and prudent. Amen.